Amen. God bless you, choir. Thank you for leading us this morning in a very appropriate song. If you have your Bibles today, let me invite you to find 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. I want to share a message with you this morning entitled, The Work of Salvation. And yes, you heard me correctly. The Work of Salvation. If you have been in and around a Baptist church for any length of time, you are probably familiar with the phrase or the idea or the thought, once saved, always saved. And on its face, I could not agree more that if an individual, man or woman, boy or girl, young or old, black or white, if an individual, any individual, is truly, genuinely saved, then he or she is always saved. However, my experience has been in 46 years of being in and a member of Baptist churches, that unfortunately there are many church members who have never been genuinely saved. And the reason that I say that this morning, and you could even consider Emory Baptist Church, and I'm not talking about a holiday weekend, but when a local church has in its resident membership over 600, and on any given Sunday, there are only 200 that gather for worship, where then are the other 400? And again, that is on average. And if we were to go back even 18 months, at the beginning of 2020, when the average Sunday morning attendance for Emory Baptist Church was over 300. Wonderful, remarkable. Yet where are the other 50% of our members? I would contend that there are members of Emory Baptist Church, as of any Baptist church, that have never been genuinely saved. And when we as Baptist brethren and sisters, when we trumpet that idea, that thought, once saved, always saved, our brothers and sisters from other churches accuse us of taking advantage of cheap grace. Cheap grace. Cheap grace that perhaps could be verbalized in this way. I can cuss and swear and rip and tear because I'm on my way to heaven up there. if that is the mindset of any individual, Baptist or otherwise, the mindset of I can live any way I please because I have walked an aisle during a Sunday morning invitation, or I have filled out a membership card, or I have passed through the waters of baptism. If your heart wasn't changed, brothers and sisters, then there has to be the question of whether or not you have been born again. This morning I want to speak to you about the work of salvation, because it is what Peter speaks to his first century listeners, his first century audience. And so if you have found 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, I want to invite you to stand this morning in honor of God's word. Follow along as I read 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5 and through verse 11. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, please give us this morning eyes to hear from you and, pardon me, ears to hear from you and eyes to see your word. And Father, a heart that receives your word to us today, so that we work on our salvation. And we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Notice with me, if you will, in verse 5, notice that Peter says to his first century congregation, work diligently to cultivate your faith. Work diligently to cultivate your faith. He begins verse 5 by looking backward. But also for this very reason. Well, what is this very reason? Well, two Sunday mornings ago, we were introduced to this letter from 2 Peter. And we saw in verses 3 and 4 the gift of salvation, the gift that God has given to those who believe. And we talked about some assets of salvation, including the knowledge of God and the power of God and the promise of God and the nature of God and the protection of God. And so Peter could be referencing the gift of salvation. He could be referencing the assets of salvation. At the very minimum, I think he is speaking of the presence of God in our lives. the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of every individual who has been born again. For this very reason, because you have the third person of the Trinity dwelling within your heart, giving all diligence, work hard in doing what? Add. Cultivate. Work. Add to your faith. Now please understand me this morning, brothers and sisters. We are only saved by grace through faith in Christ. But the scriptures are clear that we are to work on our salvation. And beginning in verse 5, you have what is commonly called a virtue list. We are aware of vice lists. This is a virtue list. And it's not unique for Peter. The Apostle Paul shares one in the book of Galatians that we commonly refer to as the fruit of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, Paul's virtue list in Galatians 5 is very similar to, not identical, but very similar to Peter's virtue list here in 2 Peter 1. But he says, add to your faith, number one, virtue. Or your translation may read, moral excellence. Add to your faith, to your salvation, that which is moral, opposed to what is immoral. It is moral for us to tell the truth. It is immoral for us to lie. It is moral for you to be faithful to your spouse. It is immoral for you to be unfaithful to your spouse. It is moral for us to trust God for His provision. It is immoral to steal when we are in need. Peter says, add to your faith first virtue or moral excellence. Secondly, to virtue add knowledge. And specifically, he is speaking of the knowledge of God's Word. And by the way, brothers and sisters, if you are going to add knowledge to your faith, you're going to have to open your Bibles more than Sunday morning. You're going to have to open your Bibles and hear from God Monday through Saturday. But add to your faith, virtue, and knowledge. And thirdly, in verse 6, self-control. Literally means keeping oneself in, holding yourself in when you fire back that email. Holding yourself in before you push that post button. Holding yourself in before you want to respond to your spouse in kind rather than with a gentle tongue. Add to your faith self-control. Number four, perseverance. Or your translation may say patience. Perseverance or patience, enduring even when things are going bad. Not giving up even when things aren't going your way. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your job. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on your church. And don't give up on God. Add to your faith perseverance. Next, godliness. Godliness. Do you and I think about God during the day? Do we think about who God is and how He acts? And consequently, do we try to emulate the characteristics that we can emulate? Love and grace and mercy and others. Add to your faith godliness. And number 6, in verse 7, brotherly kindness. You're familiar with that word. You're familiar with that phrase. The city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. How do you treat your brothers and sisters in Christ? With impatience? With criticalness? A mean spirit? Or with brotherly love? And then finally, add to your faith love. That agape, unconditional love that we can only demonstrate because of God living within us. But work hard. Work hard to add these virtues to your faith. We've got to work hard, brothers and sisters, to cultivate our faith. Because if we don't, there will be consequences. Look at verse 8. For if these things, if, not everyone will, but if these things are yours and abound, you have worked hard in adding them to your faith, then you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to say it positively, you will be fruitful in your relationship with Christ. Verse 9, for he who lacks these things, what things? The virtue and the knowledge and the self-control and the perseverance and the godliness and the brotherly kindness and the love. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. You can only see right in front of you. You miss the forest because of the trees. Even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Let me say it to you like this, because I think this is the crux of what Paul is saying here, Peter is saying here in verse 9. If you don't add to your faith, if you don't grow in your relationship with Christ, brothers and sisters, you're going to end up living your life like a lost person. That's what verse 9 says. Forgetting that you have been cleansed from old sins. Forgetting that you have been born again. And so work hard. Work hard to cultivate your faith. But then secondly, and beginning in verse 10. Not only do we need to work hard to cultivate our faith, we need to work hard in confirming our faith. Work hard in confirming your faith. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent. It's the same thing he said back in verse 5, giving all diligence. Don't just work hard in cultivating your faith. Work hard to confirm your faith. Brethren, be even more diligent to do what? To make sure your calling and your election, God's choosing of you, make sure that it is true. Make your calling and your election sure. Confirm it. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Peter is not saying here that you can lose your salvation. That's not what he's saying. But he is saying that followers of Christ can fall into carnality. Followers of Christ, to use a word of yesteryear, can be guilty of backsliding. If we're not adding to our faith, then we're not going to be confirming our faith. If we're not cultivating our faith, we're not going to be confirming our faith. And if we're not adding to our faith and confirming our faith, then there's a really good chance that we're going to be living like the world. There's a really good chance that we're going to be living as if we haven't been cleansed from our old sin. But if we do cultivate our faith, if we do confirm our faith, verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not every person, but many persons who have come to my office and dealing with this issue of doubting their salvation, they're doubting because they haven't cultivated their faith. I'm not saying that that is every individual who has been concerned and doubting their salvation, but there have been many. Brother Richard, I'm just not sure that I'm saved. Well, are you reading your Bible? No. Are you coming to church? No. Are you trying to be faithful to your spouse? No. Well, cultivate your faith. Confirm your faith. So that you can walk through those pearly gates and hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Lest you think that this is some obscure passage of Scripture in the book of 2 Peter, consider these texts from the New Testament's primary authors. Turn over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, listen to verses 1 through 8. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. But not only did Peter say it, and not only did Jesus say it, but Paul said it too. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. Work out your salvation. Work on it. Cultivate it. Add to it. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And then in the book of James, probably what James is most noted for. James chapter 2, verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And in verse 24 of the same chapter, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. And then in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Peter says it. Jesus says it. Paul says it, James says it, and then John. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 and 18. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest or made known. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Cultivate your faith and confirm your faith. Through the years, I have had the privilege of leading multiple short-term mission teams. And usually how that plays out in a local church is you share with the church that this mission trip will be happening, and I know that this is true as it for Emory Baptist Church, as it has been true for me. You share that this mission trip is happening and you invite church members to pray and to ask, does God want me to be on that trip? And then you commit to being on that team with your word and oftentimes a deposit. And then you are encouraged, or at least I have encouraged, because these trips often are several thousand dollars. I have encouraged those who have committed to going on the trip to reach out to family and friends and other brothers and sisters in Christ to see if they want to help finance your trip. They can't go themselves, but they may want to help you go. And I have engaged in that practice multiple times. But we always tell the team members, regardless of how many support letters you send, and regardless of how many dollars you actually receive, at the end of that process, the church is going to guarantee that you go on the trip. Brothers and sisters, when you and I make a commitment to Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, which in the New Testament is oftentimes called the down payment. And then from Peter and Jesus and Paul and James and John, we are encouraged to work on funding our trip. But know there is this promise. Regardless of how hard you try to be perfect in this life, when you stand before God Almighty, He's going to welcome you into His kingdom based not on your righteousness, but the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. But send out your support letters. Work on your salvation. Add to your faith. Because if you are genuinely saved, you will always be saved, and you're also going to live like you're saved. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Today, the invitation is twofold. First and foremost, for you to answer that call to salvation that God is extending to you this morning, if you have never answered it previously. And in just a moment, after I finish praying, we'll be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And I will be here at the front. And if today you would answer that call to faith that God in heaven has put on your life, I want to invite you to step out in one of these aisles and meet me here at the front and say simply, Brother Richard, today I want to answer that call. I want to put my faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone. I would love to pray with you. I'd love to celebrate with you. I'd love to counsel with you. But secondly, our invitation this morning is for the follower of Christ who is stagnant in his or her faith, who has made the decision, consciously or unconsciously, not to grow. I want to invite you, I want to challenge you, I want to urge you this morning to add to your faith. Make your calling and election sure by saying yes to Jesus and no to the devil in every area of your life. Would you just simply say yes to the Lord? If that is your desire, sitting in your seat, talking just with Him. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful even for the tough portions of your word that challenge us, that stretch us, make us even uncomfortable, but yet, along with your Spirit, we have to mold us and shape us more into the image of Christ. And so, Father, use your Spirit and your Word today to draw us unto you and to make us more like you. In Jesus' name. we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us in our invitation? Would you come today, responding publicly to God's word?